coming to you from various places around the world. This is the Global Exhibitor Podcast, the podcast designed to help exhibitors succeed internationally.
On custom stands, coffee is big in Australia. So it's full, you know, two group, four group barista operated machines on stands. Not just Nespresso's, no, it's yeah. Serious. It's
serious business.
Yeah.
Your host for the Global Exhibitor Podcast is Jeff Hanna, a designer, entrepreneur, business strategist, industry thought leader, and student of world cultures based in the United States. Here's your host, Jeff Hanna.
Well, hello, everyone. We're broadcasting today from Las Vegas at the recent Exhibitor Live show at the beautiful Mandalay Bay Resort. By the way, Mandalay Bay is one of my favorite resort hotels, not because of the gambling. I'm not into that, but I do like the rooms and the quality of service, the restaurants, the shark reef, the beach, and lots of activities they have there. And just a bit of trivia that you might not know if you've never stayed there before. Mandalay Bay has over 5,000 employees, including 70, that is 70, full-time painters on staff. And that's a lot of people just keeping the place in tip-top shape all the time. So I find that kind of interesting. Anyway, it's a neat place. If you haven't had a chance to visit there, please do so at some point. Our guest today is Ms. Kathy Welsh, Director of Client Services at the Display Builders Australasia, headquartered in Sydney, Australia. And I've known Kathy for a number of years, and I'm just so excited that she flew over to Exhibitor Live this year and took time to sit with me and share some fantastic insights from her years of working around Australia, New Zealand, and the whole region of Asia. So in this conversation, you're going to hear what foreigners need to know in order to be successful in exhibiting or managing events in Australia. And as an example, having the right kind of coffee and the best coffee are important factors that many people just don't realize. We also explore the use of building materials, raised platforms, hospitality, cultural differences, and the importance of trust and relationship building. And then in the final segment today, we make a passionate plea to help save the Great Barrier Reef, which is the largest ecosystem on Earth and which is under threat of survival. So let's get right into the interview with my friend, Ms. Kathy Welsh.
Welcome, Kathy, to the show.
Hello, Jeff. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
I was just so delighted yesterday when you walked up and said hi. So haven't seen you in a few years, but it's great that you're here in the U.S. and back at Exhibitor Live.
Look, it's always great to connect, and being here is just a bonus for me and my team. Coming over to Exhibitor Live just to connect with partners and see what's new and fabrication techniques. It's great. We walk away with lots of new, fresh knowledge.
Yeah. Well, I would like to be visiting you in Australia, but maybe someday soon I'll be able to do that. But right now, we're glad that you're here. And so looking forward to the conversation. I want to give a shout out also to ZenSpace, who's allowing us the use of their on-demand pods here at Exhibitor Live, which I think is a great new technology that they have, right? It's a nice, cool environment where glass enclosed on a couple of sides. So some people were taking pictures of us earlier, and we're sitting in here in a pretty soundproof environment.
Yeah, so portable meeting rooms. Yeah. Doesn't get any better than this, does it?
So we have airflow and we're not having to stand. So that's all good.
Yeah, definitely.
So I know you've been in the industry for a number of years.
Long time.
And I had told you before, I still use an audio clip that you made for me some years ago that I use in some of my talks, in the cultural talks that I give about developing relationships internationally.
Correct.
And so thank you for that.
That's okay. That's a big thing for us at Display Builders Australasia. We work hard to develop partner relationships around the world so we can reach out and use those partners when we have the need, and also when they have the need to do a stand in Australia, New Zealand or Asia. Partnerships are so important. Mm-hmm. In order to, you know, meet those clients' budgets And, you know, it's a big thing for us to come here and connect.
Yeah, yeah. So speaking of that, you know, I think this is, many people say this is a relationship industry, of course. And, you know, it boils down to if you've got clients coming from overseas, from Europe or the U.S. or whatever, you know, it's important that they trust you because they're bringing their clients and that brand equity that you have and that they have with their clients, that there's a trust factor there. So,
yeah, especially coming into a new country where, you know, they don't necessarily know what to expect as far as materials, finishes, budgets, you know, processes on site. So, you know, that peace of mind factor, you know, and showing more than 30 years experience and all the examples of the projects that we have completed with international partners, I think that helps definitely. What's different in Australia? I mean, definitely the fact that there is no drayage. Everybody keeps telling me that it's coming. So
let's hope not.
Yeah. So look, for international congresses, if it is an international organizer, there will be a drayage component, and that's a big education side of it for Australian-based clients. As far as stands, looks, feels, materials, we do have, you know, different flooring techniques. 32 mil high raised floor is a standard with ramp edging.
And let me just clarify for those people who may not speak metric.
You
say 32 mil, you're talking about 32 millimeter high flooring.
Correct. Yeah. Correct? Okay. So all cable management underneath, networking, things like that, data. But it's compliant to have a floor like that in Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have flat, completely flat, but it's just rare. So, you know, look, I guess the general direction of custom booths in Australia, we're all very, very organic. Mm-hmm. Sustainability, you know, clients love greenery at the moment. Yeah. The more greenery, the better. Sustainability, what can we reuse? You know, what assets can we keep, hold over, program plan and reuse over a period of time?
Do you think there's a negative association with the whole terminology of build and burn?
Oh, definitely. And, yeah. You know,
in my opinion, most of the time when people talk about build and burn, not everything generally gets thrown away anyway. They save a lot of stuff and recycle. Every country and every company is a little bit different in that regard. But how are you kind of handling?
Oh, look, there's certain higher items. So
by that, you mean rental?
Rental. So, okay. Yes, rental, higher, just a little bit of different terminology there.
Yeah.
Build and burn is probably not a common term in Australia. We will say a one-off use, mm-hmm. and then trash after. Mm-hmm. So, it just depends on the budget. So everything we do, we break down like the marketing strategy based on the client's objective, how many times the exhibit has to be used, does it have to be scalable? So we project plan to get the best possible result out of that client's annual budget. So if it's a partner stand coming, so if it's an international partner, mm-hmm. And we're working with them to develop and deliver a project in Australia, then we will incorporate rental components if it is a one-off use.
Yeah.
And we're very clear on what's hired and what's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But in most of the international designs are supplied. So we will quote a design that has been generated overseas. So we're very mindful to be clear on any material or finishes changes, because we'll adapt them to what we can, buy locally, cost effective.
Sure.
But probably 80% of our work is brand compliant. So.
And we were talking earlier about MDF.
Correct.
You do. And we, you know, MDF does get used in the U.S., but people do shy away from it on mm-hmm. the trade show side quite mm-hmm. a bit because of its weight. But mm-hmm. since you don't have the drayage issue, I guess it's
very popular
for you. Yeah,
it would be for joinery stand, it would be the main form of material that's used.
Yeah. And that would be 18 mil normally, or do you use different
things? It varies. Yeah. 16 mil, 12 mil.
Okay.
Depending on the structural support.
Yeah.
Depending on the design, curve. Yeah. So it's, yeah.
And would you, do you end up spray painting those more, or do you do color painting, or do you do laminate? What's more common?
For repurposed stands, the materials tend to be more durable. So we can do spray paint or polyurethane, which is a high gloss finish. We are doing less laminates than we used to.
Yeah.
Raw timbers are quite popular with a stain or a lacquer.
Yeah.
Just again, that really industrial look is popular right now. So it just depends on the longevity of the stand. If roller paints are quite good because you can touch up easily for repurposing.
That's right.
So yeah, we still do all of those processes.
What about crating? Do you use that much, or do you end up just putting it on your own truck and taking it to a show?
But good question. Australia's a big country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have convention centres with exhibition halls in most states. And Perth is a long way away from the east side of Australia. So from Sydney to Perth, it can take 2 weeks in a semi-trailer. So, yeah, logistically.
It's a long time.
Yeah, logistically, it's expensive to freight across Australia.
Yeah.
So all of our reusable exhibits are crated because logistic costs are based on cubic meterage, not necessarily weight, but size.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can stack, you know, you're going to get a better cost. If it's palleted, it's all pallets.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be paying premium rates.
Yeah. And what do you call your trucks?
Semi-trailers.
Semi-trailers.
Yeah.
As opposed to lorries or 18-wheelers.
Correct.
We call them 18-wheelers in the US, but
yeah.
I know in a lot of Europe, they call them lorries.
Yeah. Look, it's great when the Display Builders has more than one custom exhibit in one show. We generally have more than one. We can have up to eight. Because we can offset costs, which helps the clients. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that is a good advantage. I know that you have a lot going on right now. Your business is seasonal, just like we have in the US. But tell us a little bit, give us some insight into what's going on in Australia and within the Display Builders world right now for you.
Great. So Display Builders do 11 months worth of work in 12 months. So come summer holidays, we will run for a 4-week break, which is well needed. So right now we are in full on planning mode. It is RFP season. I've got half of my team on site at the Avalon International Air Show in Melbourne, which officially opens today. And, you know, we've partnered with Boeing to deliver their large custom booth as well as a pavilion. So it's an amazing project, and the team have been on site for 2 weeks. Wow. Just to give you an understanding of the scale of the project.
Yeah. So are there chalets as well at the show? And an exhibit hall also, or?
Yeah, all pavilions.
Okay.
So it's actually at an airport.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Australian Defence Forces are involved as well. So it's not an easy show to work at, just with the levels of security. And partnering with a client like Boeing, you know, it's a challenge.
We've gotten the opportunity to work with Boeing before as well. We did an executive briefing center for them in Washington, D.C. So, they're a great client, though, to work with, good company.
Yeah, so this is the second time we've partnered with Boeing at the Avalon International Air Show. So that's what's happening right now in Australia. Mm-hmm. And then we do a lot in the healthcare sector.
Yes.
For some reason, we're just good at it. So the referrals, you know, flows into new businesses, new companies. So we have contracts with medical devices companies like Medtronic and Pfizer and Roche. So we will go into what we call the medical run of meetings, which kick off next week. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine you have some restrictions there too, but I don't know if it's as heavily regulated, it might be just as heavily regulated.
It is. It's heavily regulated.
Because it's a global situation.
Correct. Yeah. No advertising. If we're installing a custom booth in a public arena, like a hotel foyer, you know, we can't have any branding visible to the public. So we have to be very careful when we're designing and do our research to completely understand where that exhibit is being stored.
You don't have unions there, is that right?
We don't. We don't have the labour unions. I mean, our labour do have to be insured and they do have to be inducted to work in the various convention exhibition centres around Australia. Those inductions are done once a year. As well as arriving on site, you have to go and check in and get your yellow card and make sure that's on show at all time to show that your insurances are up to date and that you are inducted. So in that perspective, the regulations are quite strict, but it's all for safety. So
you know how we're structured, the industry segmentation here is where you have labor companies who provide, you know, a lot of it union, sometimes not union, but the labor companies set up and dismantle the exhibits separate from the exhibit houses.
Yes.
Like, you know, so what's your situation like?
Both. So generally if it's what we call a reinstallation, so if it's an existing booth and we are reinstalling, we will generally hire in labor, IND, we call IND installation dismantle services from a labor company. It's pretty rare for us to fly labor teams around the country, so we will hire labor in that state. Display Builders has been, you know, in the industry for so long that we tend to keep labor teams busy full time throughout the year, no matter what state we're installing. So that's invaluable, you know. So we have these teams that are highly experienced, know exactly our expectations. So we do both. So we do factory labor. If it's a brand new installation, the factory will go and install. If it's a reinstallation, we'll use labor teams.
So I know you've grown and you've been, as we mentioned, but you, and I don't think you started the company originally, but you guys bought out the former owner. And the, can you talk a little bit about how you've grown the business and what, in the direction that it's going and what you're doing now differently than say in the past?
So I started at Display Builders when I was 22, so quite a few years ago. And about 11 years ago, Bernard Wilderink, Shona McRae and myself, we approached the current owner and we offered to buy the business. We were growing, you know, our client bases were growing. It was a natural progression and we did that and we were, you know, really fortunate to keep the Display Builder Australasian name because it's held in high esteem in Australia. So since then, we now have a team of 18 people full-time, including a 3,000 square metre warehouse space in Sydney and partnership factories all around Australia, New Zealand and Asia. So, you know, we have some fantastic clients and accounts that we've held for more than 20 years. So you have to keep lifting that creative bar and you have to keep delivering to keep those kind of accounts.
Yeah,
look, we have an amazing team. The experience is second to none. The average tenure of our team is 12 years. It comes back down, we were talking about this, Jeff, the exhibition industry.
Yeah.
Once you're in it, it's really hard to get out of. And what we say in Australia is it just gets in your blood. You know, you live and breathe it. And even though I've been doing this for 28 years, you know, I still find it challenging, you know.
And for sure.
You still learn every project that you do. And I mean, what job gives you that?
It's never the same day twice.
I like
to say it's always a different challenge. And it definitely keeps you on your toes. And excited. So, yeah, it's fine.
And I guess, look, where we're going, we want to keep growing the business. We want to, you know, keep working with amazing clients and do, you know, fantastic projects, things that keep pushing our creativity levels. The fact that, you know, what clients want out of an exhibition stand is changing. You know, they want an experience. They want, you know, their visitors to have a memorable experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, think tanking and exploring and looking at all those activation ideas, that can be a full-time job now. It's not about just designing a floor and walls with some graphics. It's much more than that now. It's a full experience.
Right. Yeah, that's so great. Yeah. And I'm seeing that as a global as a global trend for sure. But
definitely
glad to hear it that you're experiencing the same thing.
Yeah.
And I know there's been some other changes in Australia recently.
Yes.
So we talked earlier about, you know, some of the things with the International Convention Center. And
correct.
So can you talk a little bit about what's happening?
Look, for 4 years, Sydney didn't have an international convention centre. It was knocked down and redesigned and built over that time frame, which opened, you know, more than 12 months ago now. So it's so nice to be working in your hometown again, because during that 4 years, 98% of our work was interstate.
Yes.
So there was a lot of travel. So it's opened. It's fantastic. You know, it's fully booked for 5 years. There's some good international congresses coming our way. And, you know, that's why we're here in Las Vegas, is to talk to our partners.
Yeah, that's exciting, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're glad to have a new facility that's...
It's so nice.
How close is that to the Darling Harbour area? Is it
right, it's right in Darling Harbour.
Right in the,
so it's literally built over where it was.
Okay.
For those people that are familiar with that area of Sydney,
yeah,
it now flows right around to where the Sydney Entertainment Centre used to be as well, and that was knocked down. So yeah, it's a big area.
Yeah, so yeah, there is a lot of, you know, areas around there for food and entertainment and all of that, right?
So the food... And the coffee in Australia is second to none. I'm really missing my coffee.
Oh. Is it stronger? How's it different? Are you
creamy
growing it?
It's such a competitive, there's real competitive nature between coffee shops in Australia. You know, it's just premium, and it's hard here right now. Because I'm having withdrawal symptoms.
Yes, not to mention the time zone differences.
Correct. I just have to keep expanding on coffee, because that's one thing on custom stands. Coffee is big in Australia, so it's full, you know, four group barista operated machines on stands, not just Nespressos. No, it's serious.
Serious business.
Yeah. And you know, really important to clients to have the best coffee on their stands, and they will freight external professional baristas interstate.
Is most of the coffee grown in Australia, or is it coming from other countries?
Look, a bit of both. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But what about how you drink it? Is normally, you know, for you personally, or, you know, black, or
look, I'm a skim cappuccino girl.
It's good to know. What about food and snacks, and you know how it is in Europe, where you have full-on bars oftentimes, or areas to sit down and have a little cafe and some food and all of that. To what extent are you doing that?
Absolutely. Look, it's full hospitality service. You know, there's, again, highly competitive. Clients want to keep delegates coming back, and if that's a food offering, they want to come up with something that's unique. So, you know, we've had custom printed cookies and popcorn with flavored condiment sauces, and, you know, the smells. And so constantly coming up with new ideas on hospitality service on the stands. So,
but I would say
really popular,
especially for, say, American brands who are going to try to come into Australia and make a connection there.
Yeah.
They're going to need advice like that.
Absolutely.
From you that, like, okay, you guys, don't just bring your typical American approach.
Don't do an espresso. Do not do an espresso.
Yeah.
Do not do percolated coffee.
Yeah.
Waste of time and money.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, you have to invest. Mm. You know, in a full service barista operated coffee machine can be anywhere between $6,000 and $10,000 Australian dollars for a 3-day meeting.
That could be a pretty large percent of your
budget.
That's
Australian dollars, by the way.
Yeah,
so,
but still, it's a significant amount of money.
Look, if you're going to do it, you have to be serious about it. if they are Australian delegates.
Yeah.
Yeah. They work, we always say they work it out in the first break, who's got the best coffee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, I actually took a photo of the last meeting I was at, and there was two stands. There was Roche Products and there was CSL. And CSL had the venue-operated coffee machine, and Roche Products, display builder, executed stand, had a professional external barista supplied coffee machine. There was 20 people lined up at the Roche stand, and there was no one lined up at CSL. So there you go. It's important.
Definitely important. Well, it's good to know. This goes to the point of how important it is to have local connectivity and local advice when you're going into any country, really.
Exactly.
Is to help people do, and that's what really this podcast is all about, and our website, the Global Exhibitor podcast and website, is about helping people succeed internationally. What are some of the things that, from a doing business perspective, that people need to know about how it is to work with people in Australia that Americans might not know? So in addition to things like the coffee importance and hospitality, all that, what are some other things that you think, maybe you've even seen it as bad examples, you know, or people that have done things wrong or not so well? Give us some advice.
Yeah, look, Australians are very relaxed and, you know, we don't hover. You know, if you're coming to site manage, just brief the team. Let them know what's important, what you want to achieve in a certain time frame, and let them do it. I've seen, you know, some custom site supervisors come in from overseas and just hover constantly. And it does get the labor teams offside. It's just that let them do what they're good at and just, you know, make sure you're just overseeing the quality control, because it always gets done and always gets done well. And it just can affect the relationship and how smooth it goes on site, especially if it's a tight time frame. And that's one thing we've noticed. Organisers are giving us less and less time to install big custom projects. So you want to just keep all of those relationships quite smooth. When you're dealing with up to like 15 different contractors on site, that's really important. So usually what we do is we'll do a briefing to start the day, and then, you know, revisit it around lunchtime. Okay, we want to achieve this much. We need to step it up, just so everyone's on the same page. And it seems to work quite effectively.
That's good. Yeah. So are there any other pieces of cultural advice you would give to people?
Just you really have to treat everyone just with the respect that they're all, you know, highly skilled people in their own specific industries. And we have this saying that you never burn your bridge, because you just don't know when you're going to need somebody's service. And you might be in a pickle and you just need that support, you know, just to bring it over that finish line. So just really, you know, be helpful and respect on site. But as far as cultural differences, maybe some of the terminology, you know, we tend to say custom stands as opposed to custom booths, and, you know, the Aussie slang versus, you know, sometimes Americans don't even know what we're saying when it comes to different words. And there's obviously that as well. Yeah. But it's not actually that much different. Yeah. I mean, the booth spaces are a lot smaller over there. We do a lot more inline stands, but as far as cultural differences, I don't think there's a huge difference now.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, like social media and information just available instantly everywhere.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of caught up a little bit.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I want to throw one unexpected question to you, but it was something we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
I won't put you on the spot.
That's all right.
but about the Great Barrier Reef.
Yes.
Because I think it's an important issue that people need to know about.
Mm.
Give us an update on what's going on with
it's
that.
It's shocking.
And what's the significance, for people that don't know what's happening?
Look, it's my 9-year-old son has just finished a school project on it. And on the course of that project, we sat down and watched a Netflix documentary. I can't think of the name of it
Saving
now.
Saving Coral.
Saving Coral.
I saw it.
And, like, we're talking about one of the world's biggest treasures here, and it's basically bleaching. So it's losing its colour, it's dying, and it's because of the change in temperature in the water. And I highly recommend watching that documentary, and it's very upsetting. And I just don't think enough people are aware, you know, we should be doing more. And in a few years' time, it just won't be there. It'll be gone.
It's tragic.
It's tragic. It's
like,
awful.
You can't let that happen.
Like, I've actually dived in the Great Barrier Reef, and it's one of the highlight experiences of my life. I'll never forget it. It's phenomenal. Yeah. So, everybody, get behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for covering that. I wanted to mention that, too, so while we were with you on the show. So, I greatly appreciate your time, Kathy. It's been a wonderful pleasure to catch up.
It's always good to see you.
And thank you. This has been an interview with Miss Kathy Welsh from Display Builders Australia. And thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome. Anytime. I look forward to the next time.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff.
We like to remind people that all business is conducted within the context of culture. So each episode provides insights to help marketers understand the cultures they're trying to reach and strategies for building bridges across cultural divides. If you like the Global Exhibitor podcast, please share it with others, subscribe to it, and rate it on iTunes. We greatly appreciate the feedback. Please also check out our website and blog at www.globalexhibitor.com. And finally, if you or someone you know would make an interesting guest on this podcast, please let us know by sending an email to guest@globalexhibitor.com. And until next time, thank you for listening.